The son and namesake of the late Philippine dictator Ferdinand Marcos leads in the race to become the next president. His popularity comes 3 decades after his family returned from exile in Hawaii. As NPR's Julie McCarthy reports, a victory in the May election would mark a stunning restoration of power.
The Marcos comeback falls on the 50th anniversary of the late President Ferdinand Marcos imposing martial law on the Philippines. In a televised address, he told the nation,
"I, as your duly elected President of the Republic, use this power embodied in the Constitution."
He said martial law would protect democracy.
Ferdinand Marcos Sr. was an extraordinary man, capable, brilliant, cunning, utterly rapacious.
Historian Joseph Scalise says the 14-year-long dictatorship saw the arrest of 70,000 people, the deaths of nearly 4,000, and the cessation of free speech.
This was the essence of martial law.
By early 1986, the army was in mutiny, and millions of Filipinos were in the streets.
Good morning. Early today, the Reagan administration called for the government of Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos to step down. I'm Linda Wertheimer. Today is Monday, February 24th.
The next day, Marcos fled into exile. The Philippine democracy movement had triumphed. Imelda Marcos later recalled stuffing diamonds into diapers in their rushed retreat. Marked as a kleptocrat, Marcos Sr. died in Hawaii in 1989. The Philippine government has recovered more than $3.4 billion from the couple's ill-gotten wealth. It's still collecting. The former first lady, fabled for her shoes, has long wanted her disgraced family returned to the seat of power and sounded wistful speaking for the 2019 documentary, The Kingmaker.
I miss the clout of being first lady, wherein you can do so much.
Imelda, now 92, wants her only son to be president. If polls are correct, she could get her wish.
Ferdinand Bongbong Marcos Jr.
64-year-old Ferdinand Marcos Jr., popularly known as Bongbong, is half of a potent dynastic duo. The other half, Sara Duterte, daughter of President Rodrigo Duterte, is running for vice president. Marcos sums up their campaign message.
Ang pagkakaisa,
unity in crisis. Critics call the platform vague, but moreover, insist there's nothing unifying in Marcos Jr. launching his campaign with the anthem of his father's dictatorship, with lyrics about a new life in a new society. Today, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. promotes his father's 20-year rule as visionary and philanthropic. Historian Scalise says the Marcos family myth-making glorifies a period of tyranny and corruption in which Marcos Jr. was fully vested.
A brutal dictatorship is being rehabilitated and brought back into Philippine life.
Investigative journalist Gemma Mendoza says a network of anonymously managed social media accounts and online influencers are circulating conspiracy-laced narratives that whitewash Marcos' family misdeeds and malign the mainstream media for hiding the glories of the Marcos era.
That's very worrisome for democracy, for press freedom, because the press is bearing the brunt of this.
None of the one dozen online influencers we reached out to agreed to talk, nor did the Marcos campaign respond to requests for comment. Historian Manuel Quezon says the Philippines is part of a global trend whereby extreme views find favor with voters while fueling anti-democratic impulses. He says it's been a boon to the Marcoses.
I mean, think QAnon, but Philippine style.
Economist and professor Solita Mansud says Marcos doesn't have the discipline to be president. She says as congressman and senator, Marcos achieved no distinction and is non-committal on presidential debates.
It is so clear he doesn't have the capacity. He does not have the desire. His mother wants him to be president. And by God, he's going to be president if it kills the Philippines.
But analyst Richard Haydarian says the same democracy movement that toppled the father is now benefiting the son. Haydarian says three decades of administrations have failed to close the gap between the rich and poor or curb corruption. Many Filipinos, he says, are disillusioned and nostalgic.
And they're the ones who are trying to convince their children, their grandchildren that, hey, if we go back to the Marcos era, those are the golden days, right? Those are the days of strength and innocence and statesmanship.
Jeffrey Zorrilla, 39, says his parents have warm memories of Marcos Sr. We caught up with him at this Manila fish market, one of several stops that found more Filipinos than not preferring Marcos in the presidential race. Bring back the life we had before, when the peso was strong. Marcos did that, Zorrilla says. As for martial law, his parents told him it instilled discipline, not killing. The election in U.S.-allied Philippines is also geopolitical, with the U.S.-China rivalry front and center. China's vast claim to most of the South China Sea unnerves its smaller neighbors, including the Philippines. By wide margins, Filipinos say they distrust China. Yet Marcos has said he's prepared to embrace Beijing. Scalise says the business community backing Marcos wants him leaning towards China.
They are concerned that if they are too close to the military maneuvers of Washington or diplomatic statements of Washington, that they will alienate China and they will lose their economic opportunities.
Scalise calls it an untenable balancing act. Whether Marcos Jr. will be the one who must weigh it up will depend on his rivals and whether they can mobilize against the brand he's offering. Julie McCarthy, NPR News.